My name is Melissa Carvel-Zemer. It's my privilege to serve as the minister of this congregation. I'm joined in welcoming you this morning by Mary Lou Holly, who's serving as our worship associate, our director of religious education, Karen Lapidus, our music director, Hal Walker, the Golden Tones Junior Choir, and the Unitarian Universalist Church of Kent Choir. There are two items that I'd like to bring to your attention today. The first is a special announcement from grades 3 through 5 in our religious education program. So everybody, it looks like, who's helping with this?
Over the next week, you will notice boxes that say donate pet toys upstairs and downstairs in the church.
Please donate new or used in good condition toys for animals. They will be donated to the Humane Society of Greater.
We decided to do this project because we talked about how to help the earth. We believe animals need a good home just like humans do, no matter if it is in the wild or in a house as a pet.
The 3rd to 5th grade class and teachers decided to work on this. We started making dog pull toys out of recycled t-shirts. If you want to make some yourself, talk to one of the students in our class about how to help.
If you have any animal toys you don't need, please consider donating them. The toys will be collected from now until Sunday, April 6th.
You may also know that March is the month in which we conduct our annual stewardship campaign. And this month we have been inviting one person each Sunday to share with us some words about why and how they choose to support the congregation. And this morning, our testimonial is from Connor May.
I participate in this community. I do a lot of stuff. I do OWL, Hogwarts, the soundboard training, and service auction ploys with Brad. I also come up here to ask you guys to pledge, because I became a member at 13 and wanted to give back to my community that I love as so much, and I love coming to the church every Sunday. And so I wanted to give back to my community in many ways as possible, so I participate in many different programs, and I give and pledge some money to help the church.
And the world cannot be discovered by a journey of miles, says Wendell Berry, no matter how long, but only by a spiritual journey, a journey of 1 inch, very arduous and humbling and joyful, by which we arrive at the ground at our own feet and learn to be at home. We light our chalice this morning with gratitude for the journey.
What a way to begin. Taking us to exploring our earth. Today we have a rare opportunity to look at a much larger picture. It's hard to see. Could we try the lights and see if that helps a little? You're going to have to imagine. But we heard some more information about the Big Bang recently, so that's sort of in our minds. Some research on it. And what we're going to do today is take the rare opportunity to look together to view ourselves in a larger universe context. Our very busy, fast lives, we're moving so quickly. And today we get to stop and look. And I think it was 4.6 billion years ago. If you look way up there, you can see the Earth being born. 4.6 billion years ago. Then we have this unbelievable image of life that comes over these years. All of those lines represent years, and many, many, many of them. And you can see down closest to the globe is the very first little spot there, and that's bacteria. 3.8 billion years ago was the first bacteria. Single-celled organisms became able to eat and reproduce, and thus here we are, long time later. And what I'm going to do is just give you a couple of things to think about. These surprised me when I saw how old some of our creatures are in our universe. Mollusks, 500 million years ago. Small, soft-bodied animals still discovering more than, we actually are still discovering more than 400 new each year. So we're talking a long life and many different kinds of life. Lichen, one of the first collaborations between algae and fungus, living, and they live in healthy environments, and they have all of these years. Then we have sharks. You want to guess how old sharks are? They're up here closer to us. On this side, 375 million years old, and they have changed very, very little in that 375 million years. Beetles, when you see them out in the garden, 265 million years. Geckos, one of my favorite creatures, 160 billion years. Then we have ants. We're getting closer to our modern day. Ants are only 140 million years old. Squirrels, those little guys that you see outside, 36 million years. And dandelions, 5 million years. Coyotes, 2.3 million years. And Homo sapiens, do you know what that stands for? Wise humans, 100,000 years. So if you look at all of this and you see where we are on it, we have much to learn from each one of these creatures that I highlighted briefly from them. And we are in a position to make a lot of difference to the Earth. We already have. And it's our exploration today to look a little further into that and see ourselves within a much broader time context than we normally do. Okay, let us worship together in this moment that we get to slow down and consider ourselves as part of a very large family that began 4.6 billion years ago.
Good morning. I've got some helpers with me for our time for all ages this morning. Gia Murphy, Spencer Murphy, Cameron Mack, and Sydney Mack will be helping with the story, "The Air, the Animals, the Water, and the Children Have Their Say." So just last Sunday, our children who are in the kindergarten through grade 2 religious education class were marveling over the beauty of the natural world. They were looking at photographs of mountains, rivers, swamps, and deserts, and they were oohing and aahing. And I think that all of us have an inherent appreciation for the wonders of the natural world. It's a part of our human nature, I think. But yet, because of human activity, our Earth's beauty is being challenged. There are so many people sharing our home, the Earth. In the last 100 years, the population of our planet has approximately tripled. People are taking up more and more space on our shared home, the Earth. Technology and industry produces lots of waste materials. And we know that the overuse and the thoughtless use of our valuable resources are leading to all sorts of environmental problems. So, if the air and the animals and the water could talk, I wonder what they would say. What would they tell us about how they are affected by the environmental challenges brought about by human activity? So let's make believe that we can hear from them. So what do you have to say, air and animals and water?
I am the air that we all breathe. It feels so good to breathe me in. Ah, there is nothing new about dirty air. Even in the past, when homes were heated by fire or coal, I was filled with soot and smoke. But now, because of all the cars and trucks and planes burning fossil fuels, I'm filled with toxins. When the rain falls through me, it carries acid down to the ground, acid so toxic that it eats away at the rocks, causing young spruce trees to die. I am worried.
I am the animals. All the animals on land or sea are in the sky. We all rely on our habitats to provide us the food and shelter that we need to live and reproduce. Habitats are our homes. Because of climate change, development, and poor management of the land, our homes are being destroyed, and it's getting harder and harder to find a suitable place to live. Some of us, like the giant panda and the blue whale, are in danger of becoming extinct. I am worried.
I am the water. Did you know that all the water that ever was, or is, or ever will be is already here? That means I need to be well cared for, so I don't get too dirty. But much of me is already dirty because people dump industrial and agriculture waste into me. Yuck. The recent oil spills make me very dirty. Indeed, and hydraulic fracturing is making my underground water polluted with toxins. I am worried.
The air and the animals and the water have good reason to be worried. They are in crisis. The home we share with the creatures will be inherited by our children and those that come after them. Therefore, our children need to have their say.
I am worried too, but I'm also hopeful. If we all act now, we can safeguard the future of the planet for the air, the animals, the water, and for me. I am hopeful because all people are becoming aware of the problems. More people are recycling. More people are working to create sustainable resources which will cause less damage to the earth. By working together, we can face the challenge of saving the environment. Will you join me?
To lead us into a time of silence, meditation, and prayer, a spoken and visual meditation. To look at anything. If you would know that thing, you must look at it long. To look at this green and say, I have seen spring in these woods, will not do. You must be the thing you see. You must be the dark snakes of stems and ferny plumes of leaves. You must enter into the small silences between the leaves. You must take your time. And touch the very peace they issue from. We'll keep silence for a few moments together. Love about this church is how we collaborate in creating this experience every Sunday. It's not just me. I wouldn't do this if it were just me. We need what every person has to bring. And it's an unfolding creation every week. And so the music and the time for all ages and the contributions of the worship associate and the contributions of the people who set the chancel and contributions of people who don't know they'll be contributing, like Brad, who I emailed midweek and said, I have this idea. Can you take pictures for me? So we collaborate and we create something together. We share in the creation. And truly, that is the nature of life. We share in creation. And the earth is in need. The earth is in need, and we know that to be true. There are not many of us, I think, who like to dwell on the reality of the situation, because it's terrifying and depressing. Rising sea levels, floods, droughts, wildfires, they're already incurring at increased rates and will continue to incur at increasing rates if the world does not act soon, collaboratively, to create a different future. Our future is not secure. Already damage has been done. Already, it would be fair to say it's too late. But perhaps not ultimately too late. And that's the question before us today. Our future is not secure. We're responsible for the damage. What can we do? We're responsible for global warming, and we're responsible for a whole host of human and environmental problems arising from our appetites. Last year, I read this book called Confessions of an Eco-Sinner, and with every chapter, I became more and more despairing. The author of the book, Fred Pierce, is a journalist, and he decides to trace the stuff of his life, ordinary stuff, coffee, chocolate, socks, jeans, his wedding band, prawns in his curry, palm oil. He decides to trace the things of his ordinary life back to their source. And what he finds is widespread ecological destruction and human oppression. I walked away from that book feeling like there's no righteousness for any of us. There's no possibility of righteousness the way we live our lives on this planet. We are all eco-sinners. So in thinking about that and thinking about this homily today, I realized that I have nothing new to say about this, truly. And we could all give this homily. Every single one of us could stand here today and testify to the damage and destruction that's been done. Sometimes I think the best way to imagine a new way is not through knowledge. Knowledge is important. But there are other ways of knowing, emotional ways of knowing, ritualized ways of knowing, and that is what I would like to invite you to share together this morning. I want to invite you to share a piece of Joanna Macy's work. She calls it The Work That Reconnects. So this will be uncomfortable for some of you, and so I invite you to just honor that discomfort and recognize that sometimes discomfort is necessary as part of a journey through, a journey to greater insight, a journey to greater understanding. So to be meaningful, for this ritual to be meaningful, there have to be some people here today who are willing to be truth tellers about their own experience. And you don't need to have studied climate change recently. All you need to know is your own heart. So if you're willing to be a truth teller today to a few other people near you about what it's like to live on this planet in this age of ecological destruction, in a ritual that I will guide you through, would you raise your hand? All right. We need a few more, so I'm going to give you a moment to think about this. Summon your courage, perhaps, and raise your hand again if you'll be a truth teller. All right, so this is the challenge. Keep your hands up for a second, because everybody needs a truth teller. So you might need to move around a little bit to be near a truth teller. And there's going to be little clusters of groups. And this is outside of our comfort zone, okay? So let's do it now. Find a truth teller and make a little cluster. This is a ritual. This is a ritual exercise. And for the purposes of this ritual, we have to make two assumptions. The first assumption is that there will still be humans living on this planet in 200 years. And now some of you may not have confidence in that, but you have to make the assumption for this ritual, okay? So that's the first assumption. The second assumption is that the humans who are still living on this planet in 200 years are organized in some communities in ways that they're able to continue learning, continue knowledge from previous generations through stories, universities, oral history, whatever it is. So those are the two assumptions, okay? So here is the ritual. We're going to use our moral imaginations to presume that the truth tellers who are living right now in 2014 in this age of ecological crisis are meeting with those who live seven generations from now. We're going to use our moral imaginations to imagine this meeting of truth tellers from this year, 2014, interacting with those who live seven generations from now. So open your hearts and open your minds and open your moral imaginations. And imagine that the listeners don't actually say anything, but imagine the listeners are saying this to the truth tellers. Ancestor, we greet you. We greet you and we are so happy to meet you because all our lives we have heard stories about what it was like for you all of those years ago. We've heard stories about some people living in phenomenal wealth, wealthier than the most ancient kings, and some people living in incredible poverty. We hear that you lived in such a time. We hear that you lived in such a time when bombs were available that could blow up the entire planet. We hear that you lived in such a time when the forests and the seas and the air were being poisoned. Animals were going extinct. We know that you lived through such a time. And this is what we understand, is that you knew it too. While it was happening, you knew it. And so we're desperate to know. What was that like for you to be alive in such a time? Truth tellers, take 2 minutes and answer those from the seventh generation. Our ritual will continue, but at this time, I invite you to participate in a litany for all of us, a recognition of where we are at this moment in time. Mary Lou will lead us.
We're going to participate in something that is from the United Nations. So we're joining people all over the world who are thinking about the very things that we're talking about here this morning. And this reading, what I would like you to do is know that this is a litany of sorrow and confession. And what I would like you to do is I will read some statements, and then I would like you to say, "We have forgotten who we are." For each. Okay. "We have forgotten who we are. We have alienated ourselves from the unfolding of the cosmos. We have become estranged from the movements of the earth. We have turned our backs on the cycle of life. We have sought only our own security. We have exploited simply for our own ends. We have distorted our knowledge. We have abused our power. Now the land is barren, and the waters are poisoned. The air is polluted. Now the forests are dying, and creatures are disappearing, and the humans are despairing. We ask forgiveness. We ask for the gift of remembering. We ask for the gift of remembering. We ask for the strength to change."
And so I invite you to return to your circles for one more testimony from our truth tellers. We are, all of us, eco-sinners. Where can we find our salvation? How can we be part of our collective liberation? The universe possesses tremendous healing powers, but for healing to take place, we have to restrain our harm. And so we turn again to our truth tellers. Imagine still truth tellers speaking to people from the seventh generation. And imagine those people saying this to the truth tellers. Ancestors, we greet you. We greet you and we thank you, because we know that it was people in your generation who found the strength to change. You found the strength to take the first step. We know that. We know that because you helped change the course that the planet was headed on. So we know you took the first step, but this is what we really want to know. Ancestors, how did you find the strength and the courage to remain persistent? It wasn't a one-time act. It took your whole life. How did you find the courage and the strength to help heal the whole? Truth tellers, please take 2 minutes. Thank you to those of you who took the risk today to share from your heart. That is what we need. We need knowledge, yes, absolutely. We need education. We need tools and we need strategies, but we also need people willing to share from the heart the truth of this experience, what it's like to live in an age of ecological crisis. Not only the despair, that because it is real, but also the courage to find another way. Because truly, we must find the courage. If there is to be a seventh generation, we must find the courage to create another way forward. And it's going to take every single one of us with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength and courage to help heal the whole. And this might be a unique calling of congregations in this generation in which we live, a place to hold the community in the despair, in the hope, with rituals, songs, stories to inspire us for the journey. May it be so, and amen. We have a gift for you today, and to respect the time of the children, I think what we're going to do is to ask you to come forward instead of passing these. So Mary Lou made these tremendous gifts for you. These are heritage seeds, all of them heirlooms, a variety of kinds, and at the end of the service, or it looks like Fred and Noreen are going to help us, we invite you to choose some seeds, to take them home, and to use them as an opportunity to look closely, like the spirit of that meditation we had earlier. Look closely at life as it grows. If you're a gardener, plant them in your garden. If you're not a gardener, maybe stick them just in a little pot on your windowsill and watch life unfold this spring and this summer. It's our gift to you, and we gladly now take the offering to accept your gifts.
Should I stray? This is my home, this is my only home, this is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in this dark night alone, rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden. So the people sang rejoicing as the fields were glad with grain. From their songs of celebration and their cities on the plain. This is my home. This is my only home. This is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in this dark night alone? Rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden. Now there's smoke across the harbor and factories on the shore, and the world is ill with greed and will, an enterprise of war. But I will lay my burdens in the cradle of your grace, in the shining beaches of your love and sea of your embrace. This is my home. This is my only home. This is the only sacred ground that I have ever known. Should I stray in this dark night alone? Rock me, goddess, in the gentle arms of Eden.
We are one people sharing one planet. Go forth walking gently, sharing your love, doing what you can to heal the whole. Go in peace.